Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the missus.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma, where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together, or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners, and I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay, I don't know if you have, I mean, let's not
even go there.
My
liberal, hot wife.
Did you survive the intro?
I survived because I had it on mute and I was listening to the CNN impeachment debate. I mean, it's literally the worst.
Stop! You're so mean.
Whatever. All right,
I'm
not being mean. I'm just being objective.
Terrible. So
right,
anyway, how are
face
you?
Face is bright red. Okay,
Uncle
so
Neil.
I'm
great. I'm here in Davos. The Orange Man spoke this morning. He was like slurring every other word, and he's here to address the global community, so he spent a good 35 minutes praising himself.
He's for China, I'm for the U.S., but other than that, we love each other.
Related to the economy. You know, so he's just making stuff up, so it's fun. But we got our wine party tonight. You will be missed at that wine party, dear. No, what would you like me to say? No, honey, baby.
Yeah, deer is not good.
You don't like the deer? Does your mom call you that or something?
No, it's just like old person name.
Makes you feel old?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, I mean, you know, you got to be tired, right? I'm tired. We were in L.A. on Saturday, and now I'm sitting here in Switzerland, so it's...
Well, you're probably more tired than I am, but...
No, it's like nine time zones away, but anyway, everything is good. And,
are you getting ready? You're getting ready to go to our annual event there.
I'm getting ready to go to the annual event without the star of the event, aka you. So I'm bummed, but I'll tell you what, though.
Who else is going to drink all the wine, get altitude sickness, and fall backwards while taking a picture?
Howard Lutnick. I do remember that, but Howard Lutnick's going to do that, but he's not going to be wearing high heels, and he's not as hot as you. So,
but he's not going to fall backwards while taking a picture because he fainted, remember?
No, I totally remember that. I caught you though.
I know that was so bad.
You were going down. You had no oxygen in the brain, heavy alcohol, and you were on your way out.
Caffeine, but, alcohol, no sleep, altitude sickness.
Right. That's the Davos diet.
Caffeine
and lack of water and alcohol. So, you know, listen. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is, it's like a tale of two cities here. So, you know, I came in on Swiss Air. I looked over. I got, you know, obviously the president got here ahead of me. Air Force One is in the tarmac, and there's probably, you know, $10 or $12 billion worth of private planes. And apparently they're giving out lower admission jet fuel for these planes. So, I mean, the hypocrisy is, like, off the chart, right? So everyone's talking about the climate. Obviously, Trump's not talking about the climate. He wants Australia to set on fire and fall into the Pacific. But these other people are talking about the climate, but they're flying around on their private plane. So, I don't know.
The people that are there are talking about the climate?
Yeah.
And they take private planes?
You know, what are the major issues in Davos? It's the climate. You know, half the world is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looks like some of the areas where the fire was, it like killed all the endangered species. And so now in Australia, they're going to change the zoning on those areas. So if there were endangered species in certain areas, you couldn't develop it. So now that the fire is blown through there, it's like no problem. You can like drill and mine and go in those areas and develop it.
Oh, that's so terrible.
So it's again, you know, I don't know, we're having like a huge frat party with the environment, and the kids, our kids and grandchildren, it's like a Saturday night frat party in National Lampoon's Animal House, and then like Sunday morning, I guess will be 30 years from now, where our kids and our grandkids are going to be living in the environment where, you know, we torched and scorched it. So, but I mean, that's a big issue here in Davos, but I just think that, you know, it's a lot of hypocrisy going into that issue. So,
well, if everybody just did one small tiny thing differently in their lives, it could make huge amounts of change. I wish, you know, if Melania doesn't want to do anything about with her Be Best campaign, because her husband is the worst on the worst Be the Worst campaign.
A love note to Melania.
She should at least do something about the environment. I mean, she has a kid and she will have grandchildren maybe if he becomes less awkward. Oh. And, you know, he's going to want to have a place for his kids to live. She could just, like, do one small thing to motivate people, and it would make a huge difference. And, I don't know, she doesn't do shit, literally. Sorry for my cursing, but she's pathetic, I have to tell you.
Well, it's got to be brutal living with the guy, right?
Okay, so but you can at least make something of yourself. Stand out, make something for yourself.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So the talk right now, though, here in Davos, I was obviously, so you know where I am, but just for listeners, I'm at the Hilton Garden Inn, which is across from the main conference center, and so the lobby of this place is like a huge traffic area. You know, try not to laugh, but Steve Schwartzman, you know, my son AJ, when I wrote my first book, he said I had a book cannon. As people drove by the house, I fired a book at their windshield as they were driving by the house, so that it would clip onto their windshield, and so they'd get stuck on my book. But Steve Schwartzman, babe, he must have dropped off like 500,000 books in the lobby here. I mean, I think it's 500,000. You know what I mean? So my joke where I say, I've written an international bestseller, and if you don't believe me, come into my basement. Mm-hmm. Steve has moved his basement to the Hilton Garden Inn lobby.
Oh,
you know,
God.
You know
what is his book even about? I don't even know.
Well, I read the book, but it was an incredible pablum of self-congratulation, and so it was just basically, you know, explaining. You know, he had a, you know,
no,
45
I don't know.
Degree arc. Well, he had a 45-degree arc to greatness, and so, you know, Ken Langone's book was like, okay, you know, this I'm Italian-American, I got my ass kicked, and I had a jagged line to greatness, but, you know, for some reason, other people try to pasteurize and homogenize their lives, so, but I'm off tangent, I'm in the lobby, the thing that people are talking about is the new book that came out this morning called A Very Stable Genius.
Yeah. By Philip Rucker?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So this book was written by Philip
and
Rucker.
And one other woman
from
Washington.
Carol Leonig. And so I started reading. I downloaded the book last night. I started reading it, and it reads like a horror movie that's almost like a comic immorality tale. I mean, it just talks about how unbelievably nuts Trump is, and how he thinks and how he talks at people, and he's like literally there, you know, lurching about in like random run-on sentences. And so anyway, that's a
kind of like the one you just had,
but yes, sort of, but
I'm an extremely
even worse though is what Sorkin wrote about him in the New York Times, which is business community has basically now said, okay, we're going to hold our nose and deal with this. You know, the Fed's got the economy running okay, and so we're going to just hold our nose and accept this one way or the other. So, you know, we're watching a Soviet-style circus in the Senate where they're going to immediately acquit him, even though the crimes are actually ridiculous and the crimes are well exposed and the evidence is actually overwhelming. And, you know, they're starting the trial late and they're going to end the trial into the mid-morning, like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so they're trying to do that to get the main conversation off of the minds of the American people. So it is literally something I never thought would happen in the United States, which we have a full-blown Soviet-style kangaroo court process to exonerate this guy. So, okay, I mean, I guess that's the direction that the country wants to go in now, but I think it's very, very dangerous. Hopefully Justice Roberts, who's a real dude, will curve it in another direction, but it looks like that's where it's headed.
So who do you think is the most legitimate person out there that is still in support of Trump? Who comes to mind? Anybody? Where you're like, that's a legitimate
when you say
person.
In support of Trump, Steve Schwartzman's in support of Trump. You know, I mean, there's a group of people that are in support of Trump. I mean, there's another group of people that find him despicable, but they'll never say anything negative about him. You know?
No, but is there still anyone who's still full balls to the wall Trump that you would at one point have thought of as a reputable, legitimate person?
I can't honestly think of anybody unless, you know, again, somebody like Steve Schwartzman, I think, is legitimate. But, I mean, he's making billions of dollars off of this whole thing. And so he's there. I mean, I can't believe in his mind he thinks that this guy's operating in a normal way or thinks this guy is moral or virtuous or is holding himself in a way that would make the American people proud.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's jammed at a 42% approval rating.
Well, he's not according to Brad Parscale. I saw him on, what was I watching?
Right.
Oh, he was actually on Bill Hemmer's new show yesterday.
Okay, yeah, what did Brad say?
Well, I was proud of him because he kind of hammered him on the numbers. And Parscale was saying they're not legit and people say mm-hmm. things, but that's not really how they feel, which is true, which we know happened the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of called him out on it. It was a little bit humiliating. But I don't think anyone in Trump's universe gets humiliated because they have no self-awareness. So,
or they have no shame. I mean, yeah, so that's another huge topic.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, no shame. And I guess it all comes down to dollars and cents because he's getting paid. So I guess he'll say whatever people want to hear because he's making a lot of money, that guy. The Parscale guy.
He's getting 15% of the action. I mean, the guy's driving around in Ferraris now. So
that's insane. Nobody in politics should be wealthy.
No, when he was coming after me.
So these people that have $1, according to your girl yesterday, I saw her saying, people contribute $1 to our campaign, we'll take it. So the person that's giving the dollar over is going to Brad and his Ferrari. That's
15
abominable.
Cents of it's going to. Yeah, it's going to Brad and his Ferrari, that's all, I guess Trump doesn't care about that, and, you know, the rules allow for that, which is why everyone thinks that politics is like a scum business. But the thing that I'm sort of blown away by is the hypocrisy, right? So I know how the stuff works. So Trump comes after me, so I start firing some shots at him, then Brad sticks the robots on me. So then I point out to everybody that Brad basically made $100 million for himself. Then he's texting me saying, why are you coming after me? I'm not Trump. I didn't go after you. I said, dude, you suck. You sicked all the robots on me. Like, I don't know how the game works.
You say robots, you know? Like weird. It's robots.
How would you like me to say it?
You say robot, like it's a B.
Robots.
It's robot. Like a bot. Like.
Yeah, that was my first mother-in-law when I was 20 years old. She said that I had an elocution problem. I didn't know what it meant, so I was horrified.
So she was probably right because you didn't even know what the hell she was talking about.
Well, I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought it was a little horrifying. She said that to me. It was fine.
You speak nicely, but you do pronounce some things weird.
She also asked to look at my...
Harvard Law School
acceptance letter. She didn't believe that I got in. That was a whole other thing I thought was like mildly amusing at that young age. But I don't know how we got on that topic. But
I definitely wanted to talk about that today. That was on my list of things to do.
I'll try to elocute for you more appropriately.
No underwear, no thong.
So let me ask you something, because I'm curious. We haven't even talked about this. So you think this is totally fine, and like he gets reelected, and that like this is a totally okay thing to do? So let's just go over what the case is. He got caught bribing a foreign official to help him with his political campaign and his electoral prospects, which is a direct breach of the law. And even the GSA, the nonpartisan GSA, said that he broke the law. Yes, I know the articles of impeachment aren't bringing up a law because they're just fitting high crimes and misdemeanors, but he's obviously broken the law. He was caught breaking the law. The testimony is there. The front profile witnesses that saw it, the witnesses that are the primary witnesses that are on his team, he will not allow to testify. So if he did nothing wrong, why don't you let all those people testify under oath so that they can confirm that you did absolutely nothing wrong? Of course, he's not doing that. So now they're going to have a Soviet-style trial, and they're going to acquit him by the State of the Union, which is February 5th. So my question to my beautiful wife is, so that's totally fine with the American people, and he gets reelected? Or the American people are like, what the hell are you guys doing? We had a democracy here and a rule of law where we all learned in our civics class that nobody was above it. So where do you think people are? Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure where we are in the society, because I'm baffled by everybody's behavior. I mean, yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, or the day that we honor it. And, you know, there was a gun rally in Virginia. People had 5-foot long rifles. I mean, they're marching around, all these white men. I mean, I don't know what kind of environment we're in, but I have a feeling that he will get reelected because people have their own self-interest in mind. And they also, I don't know how to say it, but the bar has been lowered so badly that nobody even cares what he does anymore, because for some reason he's allowed to do these things. And I don't know what it is. I really don't know. He has some sort of voodoo hex on everybody. And I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people. And I think he's going to get voted back in. I do. And I don't know why the people in... Well, I do know why the people. Like I said, the people in the government aren't doing the right thing because they have their own job and self-interest in mind, and they want to keep their job, and that's it. So they'll do whatever it is that he wants them to do so they can remain. And I think people have lost all sense of morality, and I feel like nobody cares. It's just really a really sad time. I hope it changes. I don't know if it ever will.
Well, I mean, do you think it could go back to normal, or do you think he's actually... broken? You think it's a personality cult that disintegrates after he's gone, and we get leadership that tries to make it more normal?
I think it could swing back to some sense of normalcy. I do, but I do think that the things that also impact our behavior, like social media and things of that nature, will never go away. So those have altered people's behavior, and that's not going anywhere. But when you have somebody that's at the helm that's setting more of an example, then you're kind of more... I don't know. You keep yourself in check more. But when you see the person at the helm doing whatever he wants to do, it's like if you saw your parents breaking every type of rule and every type of law, you'd be doing the same thing. So hopefully we'll get a real adult back in there and people will get in line again. But I do think that there are outlets in our society now that allow for type of this misbehavior, you know? Like, I was looking on the way, and I was reading about Meghan and Harry. Can you stop breathing into the phone? Can you?
Okay, I'm sorry.
It sounds like
hold the phone.
Heavy breathing.
Hold the phone out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounded like Trump. You ever hear that video of him?
Well, no, because I have the sex robot in the...
robot.
No collusion.
In the room with me. That's why I'm heavy breathing. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can we talk about sex robot? At some point?
I had to throw that in there just to, you know...
Kim Guilfoyle's in Davos?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so... Oh. Okay, Wait, so
giant shade.
Is that for bringing up my mother-in-law from Marriage Number One? Did I
anyway,
mention all your fans out there that your first husband's name was Anthony? Did I mention that?
Whatever. What were you? So
okay, all right.
I was gonna say, so Meghan Markle, are you listening?
Oh, okay. Hold on. I have to pull this fucking baseball bat out of my ass. Can you just hold on? Oh. Okay. All right. Wow. You shoved the fucking baseball bat right up my ass. Okay.
Ripping.
Okay, where were you? Go ahead, sweetie pie. Go ahead.
Okay. What was I saying? Oh, I was saying that I was reading about Meghan Markle, and so she's in Vancouver, and she's obviously looks like she's been let out of jail. She's got like a glow. She's so happy. She's walking around, and people are saying the meanest things on social media. I'm like, oh my God, like, let the woman live. She has her kid and a baby Bjorn. She has her dog on a leash. She's got on a skull cap and she's walking around in the woods. Like, what the, leave her alone.
I guess they are expecting that these people who get born into that privilege, meaning, you know, Prince Harry, would sort of toe the line and stay within
the course of that. If you think about it, I don't smoke pot, but I always have these, like, you know, weed-like pontifications. So what the it's just like a dollar. It's a piece of green paper that a man made up, right? So we rule our worlds about this thing called money that is a stupid freaking piece of paper that doesn't even mean anything. And so what the hell is a royal? Like, nothing. They're the same as we are. So they didn't want to be prisoners to that life, which is completely outdated, doesn't help England whatsoever. I mean, they're in a hot mess with their Brexit and all that. Like, they don't know if they're coming or going. So what is a queen? What is a, like, I actually applaud them for actually trying to go have a marriage and a family. I think they tried it and they were so badly attacked that they probably were going to end up divorced if they stayed on that, or dead if they stayed on that path. Because look what happened to Princess Diana. I just feel like there's so much scrutiny and people are so horrible. I mean, they should be entitled to go live their life, and they have a baby and they want to be a family. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And you know what? They offered to, or at least Harry did, support the you know, families, the military, do all the stuff he was doing and not even receive any sort of public funds. And they said no. So he said, okay. But I don't believe that they're bad people for doing that, and people need to take a hike. I mean, it's the same thing the other night. Like, I was joking around. I had my hair and makeup done by people, and they wanted a picture of it. So I posted a funny, like, stupid little thing, like, about not eating the souffle at our dinner we went to with some clients. The things that people wrote to me, I'm like, okay, like, seriously? I just posted a picture of me joking around about my hair and makeup and how big my thighs are. And they're like, aren't you a mother and a wife and a, you're a this and a that? It's like, okay.
This nose makes me very horny.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying? I think the environment is brutal. So when you have a bully as the president and you have social media, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, but by the way, with or without him, I think the social media stuff is ugly. I mean,
he's not that people follow his lead necessarily, he's doing it, so why people think it's acceptable?
Well, it's a product of his low self-esteem, though. I mean, the guy's like incredibly low self-esteem, but also the people that are trolling are usually anonymous. There's very few quote-unquote blue check-marked people that are verified that are trolling, and so what happens is they hide. They're like keyboard warriors sitting there hiding. And then when they see you in person, they want to take a selfie with you. So it's just one of the more bizarre things that goes on. But on the Meghan Markle, Prince Harry situation, my heart goes out to the kid, because as he explained in his interview, he lost his mom at age 12, and he said something about his mom that he probably needs to talk to somebody about. And when I heard him say it, my heart went out to him. He was like, well, I'm 12 years old, and I had this very brief conversation with my mom, and I had the nonchalance of a 12-year-old, like, okay, Mom, yeah, okay, bye, Mom. And he's like, but I didn't realize that that was going to be the last time that I spoke to her. And I really wish I had not had that awareness. And obviously, the conversation wouldn't have gone like that. And so, you know, he's had 20-plus years of that haunting him. And so, and obviously, hopefully, he'll let that go and realize that his mother loved him.
No, he has to toss that up to youth and inexperience.
Right.
Yeah, just like exactly. This morning when you FaceTimed and I was trying to hustle to get the kids out the door and Nick was like, yeah, I got to call you later. It's interesting that you're bringing this up because I was thinking, oh my God, I would give like my left leg for my dad to call me, you know? And he's like, yeah, I got to go eat my waffle. Bye.
I think that, and then the second thing he said that also made, you know, tugged at my heartstrings, he said that he didn't want this sort of media scrutiny for his kids and his family. But I think what him and Meghan Markle fail to recognize is, you know, they're good-looking young people. Whether they have a royal title or not, they have an affiliation with the royal family and Princess Diana, and they are two of the
most talked
about
people. So they're never
going to
be free from the scrutiny.
Exactly. They're two of the most talked about people in our civilization, and the breaking from the royal family probably increased the intensity of that, didn't reduce the intensity of that. But you don't think the dust will settle
in like a year or two, and
maybe
they'll just be kind of doing their own thing?
Maybe. They need to make money, and so, you know, maybe they'll be producing Netflix documentaries with the Obamas. I don't know. Or maybe they'll be on television, or maybe she'll be back in film. I don't know.
But just think about it. That's a good example. The Obamas, like, he was the president. They were all up in the scene and everything. They've kind of faded into their own little oblivion. Unless they want to be seen, they're not. And people stopped hunting them down, you know? So at some point, if they wanted to, they probably could lay low.
I totally agree with that as well. So, but to me, I'm in
especially
the camp.
Especially they
sort of
are
the
not living in L.A. They're living in Vancouver, so that was smart.
The only thing I would say is that the, you know, when I got to London for the first time, I was 21, 35 years ago, and I was like, okay, what is all this pomp and circumstance and pageantry, and why is it necessary? Obviously, you know, America has sort of a disdain for that, but, you know, it has led to a lot of tourism in that country, and it has, if you look at the numbers that the British government discloses in terms of what the royal family is making from the taxpayers and what coming in terms of tourism and economic activity, you know, they've been a net add. And the one thing is, I will say, whatever you think of Queen Elizabeth, I think she's held herself over 60 plus years with incredible dignity. So, you know, look, you know, it's two different, obviously, theories of everything, but I have a lot of respect for her.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's move on to the Iowa caucuses, because I wanted to talk to you about this. So I was there last week. Mm-hmm. I was in Iowa. Not a lot of enthusiasm for these candidates. So if we're really just being brutally honest.
Well, that's another reason he's going to win again, because these people
Yeah,
well,
that's the problem. I mean, there's no enthusiasm for these candidates. I mean, you have no... And unfortunately, the American people now want to be entertained by their leadership, in addition to being... having them execute policy for them and deal with things
See, that's
like national
the thing.
Security.
He ruined it because now, because we have a reality TV president, he makes everyone seem so boring. You know, because...
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I love Mike Bloomberg and I want him to be the president, but I heard him speaking yesterday and I was like, oh my God. Like, oh, can you use a little bit of intonation or, you know, be a little less monotone? Because now we have this, like, barking idiot, which is, like, you can't look away.
Well, I mean, that's all. I mean, and by the way, the guy can barely read. He read the speech today. It was, like, hard to believe. You know what I mean?
Oh, in Davos? So,
yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
what I
mean,
want to know is, I cut my hair before Melania. Before Ivanka, and her hair is longer than mine. I need to figure out if she's taking some vitamins or something. No, it's not. It's not. It's her hair.
Well, how can you tell?
Because it's just straight hair, shoulder length. It wasn't anything spectacular. I'm just saying it's growing at a faster speed than mine. I have to find out what she's eating. Maybe omega-3s or something.
She hasn't talked to me in a while, but if I bump into her here, I'll ask her.
Okay.
I'll ask her what kind of vitamins she's taking.
I highly doubt you'll bump into her, but...
No, there's no chance I'll bump into her.
They definitely have, a restraining order on you.
So what do you think
You're
about...
You're ignoring me? Okay.
They have a restraining order on me? No, I mean, he's
joking.
A vindictive guy.
You are
guy.
So...
I mean,
you know, sometimes you don't... Well, I was thinking about it. Yesterday, we were at our son's... gymnastics class, whatever, and I was signing him up for this American Ninja Warrior competition and all this stuff, and they only take cash. So I went to go find Anthony and I brought him back up to the front desk and I said, I found someone to pay my bills. And the lady laughed and you just looked at me like, I was wondering if you were mad at me for that.
Well, why would I be mad at
you? You didn't laugh at all.
I was trying to make a joke. I was trying to come up with a joke.
Oh, you didn't make a joke.
And then the lady came in. I was locked and loaded to fire out a stupid joke. And then the lady interrupted. And then the thing, I didn't have my comedic timing was lost.
Oh.
That's all it was.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I was like, oh my God. I was thinking, once you left the house last night, I was thinking maybe you were mad at me for that.
So crazy. I mean, no, I was literally trying to make a joke. The only thing that, you know, you're unbelievable, though. I mean, we got to go from the gymnastics place to the Chick-fil-A where everyone on Long Island, I mean, there's one Chick-fil-A on Long Island, so it was like 4 million people descending on the Chick-fil-A. And then we're racing the back roads back to the house so that I can get ready for the airport. It's like you literally play chicken with the airport check-in every time. It's like unbelievable.
Okay.
And then
whatever.
Just so
who packed
I do
for
have
you
fans.
And everything?
I do have fans. No, I want to. No, I'm talking over you. I know most people listen to this because of you, but I do have fans. So we missed it one night because of your doing your thing, We ended up on Air Europa, where I think I slipped the disc on the bed, okay? And then they lost my luggage, okay, when we got off the plane. And you were doing the Ray Charles. When your luggage came out, you were dancing like Ray Charles used to do at the piano. And I was sitting there like literally a homeless child at a bus stop watching the luggage carousel stop. And then you were trying to like fake all like, oh, let me see if I can help you, while you were giggling and high-fiving yourself that your luggage
was there. I wasn't. Let me just tell my side of the story
totally fine.
No,
but I'm
going to tell you my side of the
story. Dragging their testicles on the floor.
Listen, first of all, that particular trip, I had went and purchased you an entire new wardrobe, bathing suits, shoes, every single thing, including a new suitcase. So I was not happy when that thing did not show up, because I spent all this time to give you a nice little, you know, upgrade on whatever, all of your stuff. And then it was gone. So I was not happy about that. And second of all, then I had to go do the same thing. It was like Groundhog's Day. Once we got to our destination, I had to go back to a store and buy all of that and a suitcase all over again. So do you think that was joyous for me? Because that was not a good time. So
no, I don't.
I wasn't laughing. And it wasn't only me that we missed the stupid flight. You had something to do with it, I'm sure. But I guess you're revising history.
No, of course I'm revising history. But then we had, just to explain this, and obviously we'll end the podcast, but just explain, I ordered 60 pieces of chicken, 2 sandwiches, and 3 chicken tenders, okay?
And fries.
And when James, a 2-year-old, handed it back, it was like a velociraptor in like Jurassic Park, okay? I mean, there was just like remnants of like,
you know,
burnt,
what's so sick about
breaded,
that?
Breadcrumbs.
You know what's so
that?
Sick about that?
You're good.
When you were gone, after you left, I showered them and everything. And after that, they were like, we're hungry. They both had cereal.
I never seen people eat like that.
I know.
I mean, it was like literally like,
I have myself.
So, all right, well, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, so are you wearing
you.
Your Space Force
you.
Uniform there or no?
No underwear, no thong.
with the camouflage? Yeah.
The
Space
Force.
I mean, that's another racket, right? Yeah, we have a camel.
There's no trees in space. They should have on like a black suit with like stars.
But that's how it works. You know what I mean?
It's hilarious. But okay, so there was nothing, I guess, that you wanted to say anything more about the Iowa caucus, right? No, other than that, all the candidates are lackluster. Okay. Do you have chronic fatigue?
No, I'm totally fine. You were switching back and forth in the Space Force, so see that? I mean, this is what happened to me at the desk when you were making the joke. Okay, go ahead. What do you want to say?
So, I think I have chronic fatigue.
I think the Iowa people are exhausted, and I think there's going to be a very low turnout of voters. I think it'd be a very low turnout for the Democratic caucus there. And I think that people are, in general, unenthusiastic about these candidates. And so, you know, it doesn't bode well. You know, hopefully Mike Bloomberg could pull it off or somebody like that, you know. I mean, listen, I mean, Joe Biden, you and I met him here in Davos a few years ago. I like Vice President Biden, but I got to tell you, does anybody have, like, super enthusiasm for him?
No.
Like, they're like, okay, you know, I'm going to get on a line and wait, right?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So.
No. Yeah, I have chronic fatigue syndrome for these candidates.
Right.
Don't you?
No, totally. So, all right, well, I miss you, babe, and I'm here getting ready for the wine party without you, so I will FaceTime you from this
thing. Oh, to pick out your clothes? Okay. FaceTime me.
Uh-huh.
I'll pick out your outfit.
Right. Okay, love you, babe.
All right, love you. See ya.
All right.
Don't
Bye.
Drink too much. See you next Tuesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.